In the few minutes that we have remaining tonight, I want to kind of review somewhat. It's been a while since I've had the opportunity to be in our passage in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, that we began back in November about the prayer life of a Christian, the practice of prayer specifically. In order to have a fruitful prayer life, you have to have a method involved or it will not be done. And I mentioned to you that it's like practicing an instrument. Matter of fact, I found this quote by William Graham Scroggie, who was a great preacher in England. His house was destroyed in the bombing in 1940 in England. He was pastor for a while of the Westminster Chapel and went through some very difficult times. He died in 1953, but he was a tremendous Bible teacher. He had gone to school as a young man at Spurgeon's College that was started back in the 1800s, graduated from there, and the Lord just used him in a remarkable way. And this is what he said about prayer. As the artist and the musician must study the masterpieces if they would know the power and possibilities of their arts, so the Christian must study prayer if he would be proficient in it. And my daughter just recently began violin lessons, and I told her at the very beginning, I said, you'll be a little bit ahead because you know your notes. You're not having to learn those from scratch. You've been playing the piano for a while. But hearing the violin after the first practice can be a trying experience. And there was some squeaking and squawking, but last night after she had her lesson, after two or three lessons, I forget how many she's had, it was sounding much better. I said, I think we can do this. It's a family effort, you know, understand. She does the play and we do the listening. So, but it takes practice. And I said, you know, she taught her, she said, you have to stand a certain way. That way you have to put your bow up in the air, you bring your violin up, and then you take the proper thing. She was just going through all the different things. And there's a routine that's involved. There's a method that's involved in learning how to play the violin correctly. So you produce a tone that's pleasing and people enjoy listening to. And the same thing is true in spiritual things. As a Christian, we have a responsibility to have a method of developing and getting better at prayer. You know, as you proceed in the Christian life, you should not be where you were 10 years ago. You should have grown. You should have come to the place where, you know, talking to the Lord is just as natural as breathing. And just immediately go into His presence and talk to Him. That's a blessed opportunity. Oh, how many times during the daytime, you know, something comes up, a phone call comes in, or somebody comes in. I walked out coming down the hall last night, and there were three men in the dark. And I said, can I help you, men? Well, we're waiting on a piano lesson to get over, and the light went out on us. And it was about 5:15 or so, 5:30. And then there was another man that was sitting in here in the dark. So I went up to him, and I said, and I recognized who it was. He said, I need to meet with you, Pastor Brainerd. And so we met for an hour or so. And you just never know. I was praying the whole time. I don't like walking up on two men that I don't know in the dark. And it was pitch black. And I said, excuse me, can I help you, men, or whatever? Now, they were all bigger than I am. Now, the one thing about it, I could have run faster. I know I could have done that just because of their size. But I didn't know who they were. And then to walk back down and go into the auditorium, it's dark in here, and there's a man sitting right there. And, you know, I said, Lord, I don't know what in the world is going on, but Lord, watch over. Help me to have wisdom. I don't know what we're going to talk about. And, you know, the Lord, He's there if you want to talk to Him. But if you're too busy and you got other things and going on, then you won't know that blessed opportunity of a developed prayer life, a practiced prayer life. We talked about the desire that has to be within the Christian's heart. We looked at Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, some of the most beautiful passages in the Scripture about prayer. And we learned about panting. Panting is not the idea or concept that you're wore out and that you've just run and you don't know what else to do but pray. That's not the idea at all. The idea and concept is of a young deer reaching forth its head and sniffing the air, panting the air to see the scent of its mother, to call unto its mother. That's the idea and picture. And then thirsting, it's that Hebrew word that this is incredible thirst that I have and I've got to have it satisfied. That's the picture that must be there if you're going to have a prayer life. But tonight I wanted to kind of switch gears for just a few sessions with you in God's Word. And I want you to turn me to Acts chapter 1. I want to read just a few verses of Scripture here. And then just leave you with a couple of thoughts as I introduce this, specifically from Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. Just reading through here recently, and Lord just kind of laid it on my heart after Brother Ricky and I, after he mentioned it in church, and I talked with him after the service, and we were talking a little bit about all the churches that are voting. And then I get, strangely enough, over the holidays, I get this email, and they said, Pastor Brainerd, you're not going to believe what our church discussed tonight at our business meeting. We discussed whether we were going to have Sunday night services and Wednesday night services any longer. And I stood up in the business meeting, and this is a fairly prominent church, and this individual stood up and said, I cannot believe we're having this discussion. Who's wanting this? And the pastor said, well, we've had some of our prominent members that have indicated that they don't think it's necessary anymore. You know, the numbers are not there, and there are other things that people can be doing with that time. And he said, is there any Christian things they can be doing with their time? Like being in church? And he said, it was like a deafening silence when I stood up. He said, I had eyes peering at me. Now, they voted just by a handful of votes. They got it passed to continue with the Sunday night services and the Wednesday night services. But the pastor left the door open. The pastor, after it's all done, said, well, the majority has ruled that we'll continue on. But this may have to be brought up again. And the same fellow stood up as he was telling me what happened. He stood up and said, Pastor, what's your problem? What's your problem? You don't think it's important to have a Sunday night service and a Wednesday night service? You see, we live in the day and age of questioning everything. It's just within the culture, within the world today, it's questioning everything. Everything's on the table now. What's wrong? Well, the Bible doesn't say that you have to have a Sunday night service. And you know, the Bible doesn't say you don't have to. Well, the Bible doesn't say the word rapture either, but I believe in it because that's what the Bible teaches about. And the Bible doesn't use the word Trinity, but I still use it because it best explains what the Bible teaches us about. And the Lord said that we have the opportunity to meet as oft as we want. Isn't that what 1 Corinthians tells us? As oft as ye meet. So even the Apostle Paul said the door's open. If you want to meet more than Sunday morning, you can do that. But today we've got so many things vying for our interest and time. And we don't need all those things anymore. But you know what happens? They stop going on Sunday morning too. Hit and miss. Occasionally go, you know. Because we don't need that anymore. The Bible doesn't say I have to do it. No. But a born-again child of God that's been blood-redeemed wants to be in the house of God to be encouraged. Wants to be. As oft as you meet. Why? Because God sent His very best to die on Calvary's tree. What should I give Him in return? My very best. My very best. My all. That's what He gave. He gave His all. He is all in all. And yet, what do we give Him in return? We give Him our smart aleck attitude of, we don't need to do this anymore. We don't need to read the Bible anymore. We don't need to do this. And what it is my opinion now has risen above the Scriptures. My opinion is and what gets lost? Can you go back? Let's go back before we get that up here to this decision. What happened well before? I'll tell you what happened. The prayer life ceased. That ceased first. And then the Bible reading and study personally ceased. And after that, it gets easy. You could start dropping other things. This man said, I know I'm going to be in trouble. But I just stood up. I had to say something. Pastor, what's your problem? That's where the problem was. That's where the problem. To get up there and say, this maybe have to be addressed again. He was either under tremendous pressure by individuals that were pushing an agenda, and obviously, he didn't have enough backbone to say, we're not even questioning this. This is not even a question. We're going to gather together. Now, if it's just a handful of people, it'll be a handful of people. Did you notice in the Sheffy movie, was it a huge crowd that was in the preaching meetings that Sheffy had? No. Matter of fact, Jess Carr, in his book on Robert Sheffy, said that his meetings oftentimes were ill-attended. That was his way of putting it. He'd show up at a church after riding his horse, and he would go around and go to the different houses and say, we're going to have a meeting up at the church, and sometimes people didn't show up, just a handful. But they still had services. They still honored the Lord. And he still saw people come to know Christ. Isn't that wonderful? You know, even though it was not a bunch of people, it was still a ministry that was still needed, as oft as ye remember. And so, I just want to encourage you in this regard as we read these verses here about a prayer meeting that took place after the ascension. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, or the Zealot, and Judas the brother of James, not the Judas Iscariot, but Judas the brother of James, 11 total. Now notice verse 14. These all continued with one accord in what? In prayer and, ratchet up a few notches, we're talking about serious prayer, supplication. That's what the Bible calls it, supplication. With the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Whose brother? Jesus' brethren. They were there too. They began to have prayer meetings. Now, what had taken place? Jesus had ascended back into heaven. The army has just lost its commander. Let's look at it in a way that is more human, so we can kind of get the sense of why they're praying and supplicating. It's like sheep gathering in a thunderstorm. I don't know if you've ever been around sheep. I haven't been around them a lot, but I've seen a lot of video footage and I've seen pictures. When a storm comes up, they all huddle together. They all put their heads down. They all come together in a big circle, shielding themselves. That's kind of what you see here. They're all gathering together. They don't really know what to do. Their leader's gone. Their shepherd's gone. What do we do? First resort, let's pray. Let's pray. And let's supplicate. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. And his brethren. Jesus, his brethren, were there. And other women. And the 11 disciples. They met for prayer. There is an apostolic history of meetings for prayer that we find in the book of Acts. And Lord willing, over the next few Wednesdays, we're going to kind of unfold those. We're going to kind of walk through the book of Acts, and I want you to see the level of importance of the prayer meeting. Gathering together as a local group to pray for specific needs. We're going to look at some of the things that they prayed for. I think you'll be interested to see. One of them that relates to our theme this month is missions. We're going to look at one of those scenes where they gather together. And it's concerning praying over the missionaries that were going to go out. Two of them, Saul and Barnabas, praying about God's will concerning them. And we're going to look at that, Lord willing, and maybe I hope will strengthen our resolve that we're not going to give up what's precious. The moments that we have together as a church family to pray for each other, to pray for our missionary families, to pray for people that we will probably never see. We get prayer requests all the time. I was just in the office there praying for those Austrian people that have been mentioned and that have been in our prayer bulletin all this year. And I was thinking about those young people, reading their names as I was going through there and praying. I said, Lord, I don't know whether they've been saved since we wrote these in last January. But Lord, I'm thinking about them tonight. And Lord, I pray, wherever they are right now, that they will come to know Jesus Christ if they haven't already done so. And be with Brother Todd over there that's preaching, Todd Hudson, pastor of the church there in Germany. And be with them as they minister to these young people that are there, that they'll be saved. Let me tell you something, folks. It's our privilege to pray. And in these last days, we need to be praying for each other. We need to be upholding each other because Satan is out to destroy. And we need to have the shield of faith erected, and we need to have the full body armor on. But what do we do once we get all the armor on and we gather up the sword? What's that next verse there in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18? Praying with all prayer and supplication, making our requests made known unto the Lord. That's it. We can't forget to do that. It has to be practiced. There has to be a method. And God help us to be prayer warriors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for this time together tonight. We pray, dear Lord, that You would indeed work in our hearts. Our prayer life will not improve until we get serious about it, until we practice it like an instrument, to master it, to enjoy coming into Your presence, simply to adore Thee, simply to thank Thee for all that You've done, to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, to petition Thee, to intercede for others that are in desperate need. Lord, these are all areas of prayer that must be developed. And I pray that we would in this year and in the remainder of our lives until You come. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you and good night.